With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey there. This is the Alt in Our Stars podcast. That is the name of the show. My name is Chris Payne. I'm your host. So every week on the Alt in Our Stars podcast, I do a long-form interview with people in the alternative music world. Could be rock, punk, indie, electronic, country stuff, really all corners of what you could describe, alternative, left of center. This one that we have this week happens to be from an artist who has one big hit to their name. They're a band called the Strumbellas. They're a folk rock band from Toronto, Canada. And they have a song called Spirits that's been pretty high on the alternative charts for a while. You've definitely heard it. I can say that because I played it at the top of the show, a little bit of the intro. You'll hear it after this and again during the podcast. So that one's going to be ingrained in you by the time this is over. If it's not already, maybe it is. Simon and Izzy from the Strumbellas came through the Billboard office this week, talked to them about all sorts of things, how they formed. They are a band who played their first show in a farmer's market, so, you know, they're very open about talking about all sorts of silly events and serious events from their past and what inspired their new album. That's called Hope. It's out now on Glassnote. It is where this hit song Spirits comes from, and as I discuss with them, I think there could be some more hit songs coming from this album. So they talked about what their next single might be. They talked about just a lot of things I think might find inspiring if you're the sort of artist who's been making music or whatever and been going at it for a while without really breaking through like you might want to, because they've actually been around for a long time, you know, like 6 or 7 years before really breaking through with the song Spirit. So I think there's a lot of inspirational stuff in this episode. I hope you enjoy it. And aside from this, I have a lot of exciting episodes coming up on the Alt in Our Stars. Some of them I've done already. Some are interviews that are about to happen. Can't really go into too many specifics, but a lot of things that I'm very, very amped about to share with you guys. So to get all of it, subscribe to the podcast. A few different ways to do that. You can go to iTunes and search for the Alt in Our Stars. You can go to the podcast app on your phone and search for the name of the show. Or if you're viewing this podcast, listening to it right now on billboard.com, just go to the last graph in the billboard.com story, and there is a link there to subscribe to the podcast. And also you can dig into the archives. We've had a lot of fun stuff on the show lately. Churches, ex-ambassadors, Courtney Barnett, Panic at the Disco, lots to dig into there. And finally, your feedback is super, super helpful with everything we do on the podcast. So if you give us a star rating, leave any comments, positive, negative, whatever, that's super, super helpful. So yeah, that's about it. So I'll leave you with my interview with the Strumbellas. Alt in Our Stars. Enjoy. I've been looking at the stars tonight. And we're here in the Billboard office podcasting with the Strumbellas. How's it going, guys?
Hello.
Hello. Good to be here.
We got Simon.
That's me.
We got Izzy.
Yep, that's me.
How is New York treating you right now?
It's really good. Actually, strangely enough, I was walking down in Times Square yesterday, and I kid you not, I saw three different people with pet snakes. So that was a bit of a new experience for myself.
Okay.
Because I'm petrified of snakes. So I was literally like walking beside a dude, and he had a pet snake right in his hand, and I jumped back and said, whoa. But so that was different for me.
Yeah, I would always think of like the big characters in Times Square and think like St. Mark's is more like the snake guy or girl place.
I like that there's a snake guy place in New York.
Yeah,
that's
I'm
very
not
New York.
Go to that place.
Yeah. And Izzy, how have you been in New York?
Good. I have not done much. We've been on the road only for a couple of days, but we were in Texas yesterday and Oklahoma before that. So I basically just slept in the hotel, but maybe see a little more today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not so nice out, but, you know, you'll make it work.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's New York. I feel like when you come here and you don't live here, it kind of doesn't really matter the weather because it's such a trip. Like, it's just, like, in a good way, like, it's just, like, the craziest city ever, man. It's just so big and so many people, and it's always so fun walking around the streets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you're home, you guys still live in Toronto, right?
Some of us.
I live in Toronto, and Simon lives in a small town outside of Toronto.
I moved back home to live close to Mima.
Okay. Got it. Cool. So... here in Billboard, guys are popping off the Billboard right now. Popping off. Spirits has been like, it's a big thing. It's number 2 on alternative songs.
Thanks for reminding us.
We're just going for the number 1.
It's been 5 weeks and we've just been watching and just number 2. It's pretty amazing though, in all seriousness. It's very exciting, but I mean, you know, that... Them darn 21 Pilots are really giving us a run for our money.
Yeah.
Because my question after that was going to be like, do you guys follow the charts? Like, I was going to be like, so do you know who's number one? But you guys, it seems like it's – so it's I guess it's kind of like a fun game to keep track of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's our first big radio single in the U.S., so it's fun watching the success it's had, and we're watching who else is on the charts and just like sometimes seeing your name beside – bands you've listened to for so long, that's pretty cool. So it's always like, oh yeah, we're ahead of, you know, we're ahead of the Lumineers, or we like moved past Cage the Elephant or stuff. That's cool.
I mean, I tell people, I'm like, oh no, I don't care about the charts. I'm just in it for the art, you know, I'm just in it for the music. And then the privacy of my home, I'm like, just checking the charts, just every morning, like, you know, texting my record label. So what number are we at?
Well, I'm so glad you're warming my Billboard heart with talking up the charts right now.
Yeah.
And I guess this is this your first single that's really been worked on this scale?
Oh, absolutely. I think our last album pretty much only stayed in Canada for the most part and didn't even get worked at all in the States. So this is – and when we were living up north, everybody kind of just told us that – you know, give up on the States. There's no way you guys are going to. It's such a tough market. It's a mountain to climb. You know, it's very hard to get into the States. And so we came and toured down here and to nobody. We went all the way from north to south to east to west and 2 people in bars. And so we were very deflated. And we were like, oh, man, we're never going to get to the States. And so this, having Spirits doing what it's doing here is absolutely crazily wonderful and surprising.
Yeah. Why do you think it's so hard to break through? Like, what do people say in Canada about the States?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to, you know, postulate on the reasons, but like things people would say to me, which you can take as true or not true, is like the States is a single driven, you know, singles are very important in the States. Whereas in Canada, you make a cool record, you know, we only have 30 million people, so you can get that across the country with some hard touring.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, people, this is what I was told, like, you know, unless it's a very single-driven country and you really need to have a song that is more single-worthy than just a cool album. But, I mean, I'm sure that's not true. There's a million bands that do well with albums, but that's just what we were told, or I was told, talking to different people.
Yeah. In Canada, don't they have some sort of, like, arts program or, like, rules where, like, on radio stations, maybe this is just, like, public radio with... playing more Canadian artists?
Yeah, it's absolutely called Canadian content laws, and a certain percentage of music played on the radio has to have, like, either be a Canadian artist or have a Canadian producer. There has to be, like, some percentage of Canadianism, so that really, you know, like Simon said, only 30 million people. It can be easy to be dwarfed.
Yeah, so right now it's like 21 Pilots, 21 Pilots, 21 Pilots, Canadian song, 21 Pilots, 21 Pilots.
Yeah. Yeah, have you guys thought of like a second single yet?
We're brainstorming it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Couple different things on the go, I think.
Totally. Why? What are you thinking?
Yeah, well, do you have any recommendations?
You got something on your brewing over there?
Yeah,
or?
I think it's a very uplifting album, and that a lot of the songs, especially the first couple tracks on the album, like After Spirits, could be really good.
Cool.
Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm leaning towards, I mean, if I had to pick one, I'd probably pick We Don't Know, just because that's my personal favorite. But,
yeah.
You know, we're looking at the numbers, and we're seeing what people are streaming, and we're talking to our friends and our fans, and we get a lot of messages from people on Twitter and stuff to see what their favorite songs are. So we're kind of gauging it off that, I think. But as a personal, yeah, We Don't Know is my personal favorite on the record.
Yeah, and Shovels and Dirt, too. I actually had that one, and We Don't Know. It was like the two I like noticed, like, huh, yeah, that would make sense. That'd
Shovels and Dirt is like the first one song that kind of went on the album. It was the first song we started playing and touring, and when we started writing the album, Shovels and Dirt was like really early contender. So we all really love that one too, because it's sort of it's like at the root of the album, sort of in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
I think I just got more excited for We Don't Know because we got to dabble in synths, and we've never really done that before. Huh. So that was kind of fun. We had literally had no idea what synths existed or what to use. So we had to kind of research and find out cool synths. And that was just a lot of fun, I guess, for me in the writing process, and that's why it's kind of my personal fave, but
yeah.
Turns out synths are awesome. Next record, straight synths.
straight synth pop album with like tracks with like three different synths going on at the same time, like to play the low end, to play the high.
Oh yeah, synth disco.
Simon's only half kidding.
Yeah, no, I'm serious. We're going synth disco.
Synth disco all the way.
Have you thought about like next? Have you written new music or thought about like what would come next?
To be honest, always thinking about that kind of thing, because, mm-hmm. you know, we made the album a year ago, and a year's a long time of things you're still writing, so I've written a lot of stuff that I have cooked up, but in terms of what direction, no, that's actually kind of the funnest part, and I have no idea. That's something I think about, but nothing that I really can say. That is for sure at all. It's just all brainstorming and thinking, nothing concrete for sure.
Yeah, I think it's always good to ask, because I think a lot of just music fans forget that by the time that they hear the music, that music could have been written, maybe even recorded like a year before that even got to their ears. So like if an artist is always creating things, there's so much time, you know, in that interim where they could have made more stuff.
Totally.
Yeah, I think like on this album, there's some things that were written just before we recorded. And then one cool story is one of the last tracks one of the later tracks, I Still Make Her Cry. That was like one of the first that was written before the Strumbellas even were a band 8 years ago. And that was one of the first songs that Simon presented to us as a band when we first formed like 8 years ago. So kind of found that one, brought it back.
Totally. And like, I'm super flaky and like, I change my mind all the time. So like, you know, if I'm listening to a song like Journey, like I'll hear a Journey song and then I'll text the band and say, dudes, we're going throwback 70s rock opera for sure. And the next day I'll hear like, you know, an Offspring song and I'll go, dudes, I got the best idea. Let's go 90s rock again. So it like every day, it's just like a different path that you kind of want to take because it's so fun.
Yeah, and you learn to take all of Simon's emails with a grain of salt, or anything he says, basically. You're like, just wait a day or two and see if he's still saying the same thing.
And sure enough, I'll be saying something different.
Yeah.
I think you could pull off a Journey song, though, or that style.
Oh, man, that's like, what? If you can find me a band that wouldn't want to pull off a Journey song like in that style, I'd be find that crazy, because like, that's killer.
Well, group vocals, just like big uplifting songs, yeah. Like power chord. Like you have that. It's in like a different sound now, but those things, they're there.
I think this is a great idea.
Yeah, I think
we need to add a Journey cover into our set.
Yeah. Although, have you ever tried to sing Don't Stop Believin'? It's not an easy song to sing.
Yeah.
That's the one kicker about covering Journey.
Yeah. Because I'm thinking about like bands from that era, like that style, like when they put together like the Boston tracks, like wasn't it like they could do them in the studio, but when they tried to play them live, like they just couldn't.
Yeah, you might be
I
right.
think I heard that once.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah, I wouldn't like be surprised. Yeah, you can like do it in a controlled environment, but you get on stage and so much more going on and executing everything one go.
I always wonder if like a Journey, like when Journey wrote Don't Stop Believin', like did they know that it was going to be a smash hit that would be timeless? Or did they think that they just put it out and were like, we hope people like it?
I think you have to be taking yourself pretty seriously to write a song like that. So maybe they were.
Yeah, true. That's a pretty epic one, I must admit.
Yeah. So you were talking about the early days of the band. You guys formed out of like an ad, right?
Yeah, like a Craigslist ad. I had just moved to Toronto, and I didn't really know anybody there. And I never really wanted to start a band, because I was scared of that lifestyle and just being in a band and traveling and all that stuff. So I've been writing songs for a long, long time, but I just did it by myself in my basement. And so finally I just, on a whim, put an ad out and put one of my demos up and got some response. And then that's kind of just like how the band started. And then it was supposed to be just like a fun jam thing, and then it just kind of lasted for 8 years.
I remember when it was like 4 months into the band, and one of our band members was like, oh, I think maybe we should play our first gig. Simon was like, okay, guys, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't.
Are you
shows.
Sure? I think it's too soon. I think it's too soon. But we made him play our first show at a farmer's market. So it went well, and it was all up from there.
Okay. Actually, I think I've heard about that from some other interview. But how did that go?
It went pretty well. I think one guy passed and was like, that's some great pickle buying music. So that's cool.
Yeah, that's really motivation to continue.
A free bunch of radishes for payment. So that was cool.
I think I got a big jar of sprouts. That first summer, we played a lot of farmers markets.
Yeah.
That was like our first shows were at farmers markets before we started playing bars or clubs or anything like that.
Yeah,
and actually, like, I think it did really help us build a fan base early on.
Yeah, totally. It was an interesting year.
So just like big outdoor markets, like a Saturday afternoon, people passing by.
Exactly.
Yep.
Grabbing radishes or whatever.
That's
a lot of kids, a lot of young parents.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What part of Toronto was this?
All over.
Yeah.
Oh, there's probably 15 farmers markets in Toronto. I'm guessing on average in summer, and we just went from one to the other to the other. Now, that being said, we did have a connection. I worked on an organic farm the summer before the band started, and so I knew a guy whose farm had a thing, and I think that's what got us kind of into the first one. So, you know, it's tough getting into those farmers markets.
Yeah, it's hard to break into that market.
You really
got to
know some people.
Yeah.
So.
It's pretty rock and roll, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to Toronto once, and I wish I could remember the part of town where I stayed, because it was really cool. We stayed in like a nice hostel. It was kind of like an artsy, kind of hippie part of town.
Probably maybe Kensington Market.
Maybe Kensington
Market. That
sounds
kind of familiar.
Yeah, a lot of like.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to boll&branch.com today Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Little shops and restaurants and like different.
Yeah, it's kind of
foods.
The hippest part of Toronto, yeah. I guess you could say, with all their hippin' and their hoppin'.
Yeah, yeah. It's actually to connect to your snake story. Friends and I went to a park and bought something from someone who was like a lizard guy. I still remember this. He was just like chilling there with like some lizard on his shoulder.
That sounds like something that would happen in Kensington
Market.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Lizard people.
The lizard guy.
Like New York has like the place where you go to see a snake guy, but Toronto has that place where you go to see a lizard guy.
Yeah.
Cool. So, yeah, Kensington Market. Word. Anyway, what else? Yeah, so I want to ask you guys about, so we premiered the video for Spirits way back, maybe not way back, a few months ago.
Yep.
And tell me about the theme of the video, because it's very similar to the album cover. It's basically the same thing with the funeral procession, people in masks and animals. Tell me about that. How did that come about?
Well, it kind of came from, I don't know if you remember, there's an old James Bond film called Live and Let Die. And it was one of the campier Bond films, but I loved it as a kid. I used to watch it with my dad, and it was a Roger Moore one. And I remember this opening scene was this somber funeral. And it was a really sad funeral. And then this dude's just standing there, and he goes, "Whose funeral is it?" And then the guy pulls out a knife and gets him, and he goes, "It's yours." And then they put the coffin over top of him, and then the whole thing turns into a giant, fun, color-filled, fun New Orleans-style funeral. And I remember as a kid, that really stuck with me. I've never seen that before or heard about this concept of a fun, fun, colorful, dancey funeral. Mm-hmm. And so I just thought, let's try to recreate that and maybe scare some kids of our generation or make them remember and kind of learn what that kind of funeral is like. And I mean, let's be honest, there's a lot of death talk in the album, so we just thought it kind of made sense to have it as a funeral, a fun, colorful funeral.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically it, to be honest. That's kind of where it came from.
Yeah, and I think after that, we really loved how the album art turned out. So then we were excited about that. And so when we were thinking about making the video, it kind of made sense to just kind of bring that album art to life, especially for a song like Spirits, where we each could kind of have our spirits and have those characters and bring that into the sort of funeral party.
Mm. Yeah, I wish it's like something I should definitely know better is like old Bond films. Yeah.
Yeah, I actually kind of find old Bond films a little boring, but they have certain parts that are so cool. Like there's
like
the big,
that one. Like that sounds
part,
awesome.
Like that funeral scene.
Ridiculous.
Or there's a scene with alligators and swamps, and that was a wicked scene. Or like Jaws, the guy with the big metal teeth. Like, so there's certain elements of Bond. I feel like you could just go through all the Bond films and just pluck out their ideas because they're so creative and awesome.
Mm. Worth living if you don't get hurt. I got a head full of darkness, and darkness is good. 'Cause if we all die young, then we don't get hurt. Olé! Yeah, so also wanted to ask about your fans. Talking a little bit about the early ones, the farmer's market, but because I was thinking the past couple months, your fan base definitely blew up and got much bigger. But if you can think back to maybe when it was smaller and easier to just know the people, what are your fans like?
Honestly, always just so nice.
Yeah,
we just kind of have a fan base that, you know, we've only ever had two fights break at a show, and both of them were people from my hometown because I'm from that kind of town. But honestly, 99% of our fans, even since day one, have just been the kindest, nicest people who always come and say the nicest things to us. It's actually now that things have kind of blown up a bit that we're starting to get mean tweets and stuff and mean comments. So we're kind of shocked by it because up until now, everybody's just been so kind and say, oh, we love you guys. We love your music. You're so nice. But now we're getting like all sorts of crazy stuff. So we're in a bit of shock right now.
Yeah. We're used to just like people bringing us like cookies and like we're still friends with like we're like actually friends with some of our early fans, like the first people that came to our shows in like each city. Like we have a friend in New York, actually, who was like one of our first fans that came to some of our first shows in this bar called the Cameron House in Toronto. And we have friends out in Calgary in Canada who like ended up designing some of our merch and stuff like that. So some of our early fans became friends.
Yeah, like the guy who did our artwork, it was just a fan.
Okay.
And he drew a picture of us at a tiny little bar show. And he was like, hey, I drew a picture of you guys. And we were like, whoa, cool. And then we just called him and said, you want to make album art for us? And so he's like just a friend, fan who makes our album art. And I still have probably like 5 or 6 people on my phone, like when text messages of fans from early shows that we just became friends.
Yeah. It's like that early stage of the band where people like will just like click with you guys and latch on.
Totally.
Yeah, that's a fun part when you're playing at like small bars and clubs, is especially early on when we were doing like residencies where we'd play a bar every week. So you see some of the same people every week. They come back, you get to know the people who just like frequent that club or that bar and the bartenders and the community of the space. That's like where a lot of our support grew out of.
And I guess a lot of people just hang out with you guys before, after the show, that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, when you get a bit bigger, you're kind of more backstage before the show, as opposed to like when you play a small bar, you hang out in the bar. Mm-hmm. You get there, you hang out in the bar, and then after the show, you hang out in the bar and you're just talking to people. And that still happens a bit, but, you know, now we kind of are backstage more, so you don't meet as many people and stuff. So gets a bit different for sure.
And I guess,
sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, parking lots too. Not in New York really, but I guess that's maybe a hangout spot.
Totally. You know, you get people coming up to you and when you're leaving the show or when you're coming in the show and stuff. And it's always very nice. So most of the time, you know, people are only ever mean on the internet. So I don't think we've ever had any confrontation at all with a person in our as a fan or anybody. Never.
Yeah, those mean internet people, those trolls.
Yeah, we get kind of a kick out of it, to be honest. At the start, I'm very sensitive. At the start, my feelings were very hurt, you know, when I was getting comments and stuff, but I've kind of grown into it and accepted it.
Oh, what is it? Like, what do they say?
Oh, man. So, like, there was one, when we played Colbert, there was one guy, who this one struck with me. He said, wow, I've never seen so many overweight hipsters in one place. I was just like, oh, I've got to get on a diet. Or just like, you know, you guys are the worst band we've ever heard.
Yeah, hipster trash.
Hipster trash, which is very funny because we're like the opposite of hipsters. Like, we want to be hipsters. We don't know how to be hipsters. Yeah. So it's
when people, like, we had this conversation where someone suggested a merch item, we're like, is that cool? Like, we don't know what cool is.
Yeah.
Sure, like, if you tell us that, I don't know. Like, we're not cool.
Played a show in Dallas with a bunch of bands. And, like, the 1975 were there, the Struts were there. And, like, everybody dressed so cool. Like, they were all classic, like, bands.
Yeah.
You know, they all had the cool long hair and the mustache and cool glasses and stuff, and they dressed really well. And we literally look like suburban parents. Like, we're just like kind of the most uncool band of all time. And so we're always think it's funny when people call us hipsters.
It's so weird what like people's perception of hipster is, especially like the kind of person who trolls in like comment sections.
Yeah, it's very, very funny. I guess it's because we have beards. Maybe that's what it is. But beards and plaid. I don't know.
Yeah, that's all it takes, I think. Beards and plaid.
Yeah.
That's just Canadian, I think. That's nothing. Just people mixing up hipsters with Canadians.
Yeah, like that is what we wear on a daily basis.
Yeah.
I mean, Canadians probably are like hipper than most Americans. That's a very broad statement. I don't know how I can back that up, but.
I don't know. It's a good question. Like, we've traveled around a lot of America and Canada, and I can't say who's hipper.
Yeah, and I'm actually an American transplant to Canada.
Oh, so, you know.
So I have maybe the inside scoop of both sides of the border.
Yeah.
But, yeah, maybe it just depends where you are.
Where in America are you from?
I'm from Milwaukee.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Pretty hip place itself, you know?
Yeah. And you're wearing a Braves hat. Are you a Braves fan, Atlanta Braves?
Formerly the Milwaukee Braves?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, 40 years ago.
No, not really. I'm a hat fan. I like the... hats, the classic MLB hats, fullbacks. That's like what I always wore as a kid, and so I'm very specific on the hats that I like. And Braves for me is in the top three coolest looking hats design wise. So that's why I personally rock this one.
You're speaking my language right now. What's the rest of the other three?
Well, I think number one, I mean, I think the Yankees hat is probably the coolest symbol. But it's so common, even like in Canada, like it's just such a huge staple, you know. I'm going to go with the Kansas City Royals, I think, is my number one.
Huh.
I just think that blue that they have is so spectacular, and the symbol is very elegant. So I think Kansas City Royals, Atlanta Braves, Yankees, and the old school Blue Jays one, to be honest, is pretty awesome. And the old school Expos one, it's a little too colorful for my taste. It's a little too out there, but it's a pretty cool hat.
Yeah. When I was in Toronto, I swung by and got a shirt from the – didn't go to a game, but like grabbed a shirt from the – Dome.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What's on your top list?
I mean, I'm a D-backs fan, so that's the one I wear the most. Actually, I got a bunch of free hats from New Era randomly and got to pick out a bunch of teams, but gave them a size that was too big, so I just have all these cool hats like sitting at home that I never wear.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer.
Well, maybe you wear them at some point.
I guess if I find some way of shrinking them, or if just my head expands.
I just went through that.
How do you shrink hats?
Dude, you can totally – this one –
how do you do it?
So all you do is you put it on your head. You wet it. You just sprinkle the band with water, and then you use a hair dryer on it, and it shrinks. I'm not kidding. This hat was too big for my head, and I took about a half a day and shrunk it with water and a hair dryer.
Wow, no shit. So maybe like they're 7 3/4, so maybe like down to 7.5.
Yeah. I think I went down one size. That's exactly it.
Yeah. Cool.
Learn new things every day from us Canadians.
Yes, trying to see what else I wanted to touch on. We talked about ideas for a next single. Yeah, just with Spirits, back to that, why do you think it's resonated so much? Now that you've had some time to reflect on it, you know, and like seeing reactions.
I think there's like two things that I think about, which are kind of opposite, just based on the messages we get from fans. We get kind of two kinds of messages. Mm-hmm. One is from people who the lyrics really touch. And we get all these awesome messages from people who've gone through hard things in their life and talk about how the lyrics of Spirits has helped them and gives them hope. So that's really cool. And then sort of on the other end of the spectrum, we get a lot of videos and photos of people's kids, like 4 and under, singing Spirits. And I think it's like just catchy and easy to sing. It gets in your head. It's sort of an earworm. And so I think they're kind of opposite. Like kids like it, and also sad people like it. So
sad people.
Our target market is sad kids.
Yeah.
So that's who we're really trying to focus our energy on.
Yeah. Get that's both in one go.
Yeah. I think, what Izzy said, you know, I'm not sure. I'm happy that it has resonated with people, but I still can't understand music. I can't understand how two people can use a guitar, sing a song with similar chords, similar melodies, and one resonates and one doesn't. It's just a magical part of music that I don't want to understand it. I don't want science to figure it out. I just think it's so crazy that one song on the record, like I'll probably use the same chords and like the exact same everything, and somebody won't like that one and they will like another one. Like it's just mind-boggling to me. So I kind of like that. I don't know why Spirits resonated. Like, who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not my, like I like other songs more, and some people like other songs more. It's very, very fascinating to me.
Yeah, it's interesting, and probably like it frustrates a lot of musicians who think, like, this song is so good, why doesn't anyone like it?
Yeah, totally, right? I think a lot of musicians write an album, and they're like, this is a killer album, I love it so much, and then it doesn't resonate with the world as much, and that's got to be super. I've done it, too. You know, our first two albums, didn't do that well, and I was like, oh man, what am I doing wrong? How do I make a song that resonates with people? So it's all such a magical mystery to me, and that's like my favorite part about songwriting and music in general, is that, you know, it's just, why are some songs better than others and resonate better with people?
Yeah, what is your relationship with the old album like now, the one previous to this? Like, do you still have those songs popping up in the set list?
Absolutely, we totally do. A, because we just don't have enough songs to play a set without them. And B, because, you know, our set's pretty up-tempo and fun, and the new record really is kind of slow. It's, you know, it's got some upbeat songs, but it's pretty chill at record, and our live set's always been very high energy, so we always keep the high energy songs, and we kind of have a set thing that we do to kind of make our set feel like a complete thing, so we definitely keep some of the old songs around for sure.
Yeah, and it's cool, like, with people just getting turned on to our music now with Spirits, and some people going back and listening to old stuff, so places where we would have played in Austin and no one knows us, when we played in Austin a couple days ago, people were requesting stuff off the old record.
Okay.
So that's kind of cool for us, so we like to keep a few ones in there.
Dude, we haven't played that since 2009, yeah, so we're probably not going to be able to pull that one out.
Yeah, because my next question was going to be, like, what is the crowd reaction like? But it seems like a good amount of people have, like, dug back.
Oh, yeah. Dude, it's such a trip being in America right now, and it's like almost like we're somewhat starting from scratch in our live shows. Like, we've been playing in Canada for so long, it's gotten to the point where, you know, so many people know the songs from our old records, so they'll sing along with us, and, you know, we feel all high and mighty on ourselves because we're like, oh, we're great. Well, Canadians know our songs. And then we come down here and nobody knows us, right?
Yeah.
So, like, old, new, like, we're just trying to get new fans again. And you're right, they don't know. People don't generally know any of our songs except for Spirits.
Yeah, it's like, you know, especially at these shows, we've been playing festivals and stuff. We haven't done that many that have been like our own headline shows yet. So there are a lot of people who have just heard our song on the radio and come out. So that's cool, kind of like trying to get people to know the band behind the song, because maybe they know the song, but they don't know us yet. So it's just finding that balance. And then hopefully, you know, once we get some of our own headline shows, more of those people who know the whole album and know the record, and we'll get more of that type of fans. Because right now it's like, you know, people waiting to hear Spirits, which is awesome, but it's definitely different. Because in Canada, we really built our fan base from touring, like just touring back and forth across Canada, back and forth. So people kind of, there was never really that one song that people knew above every other song. They knew the whole record. So it's a different experience.
Yeah, like you can ask Izzy, like every day after a show, lately I've been need 10 minutes by myself in sadness because I'm so disappointed with, I'm like, oh, we're terrible, we're the worst band ever, these songs suck, because we're not getting the reaction we got back up north. And so like I'm like, that's it, we're quitting the band, nobody likes us, we're losers. So that's what's happening right now. So like,
Simon's not very patient.
Yeah.
You could say
not a patient man.
Yeah, it would be interesting to, like, talk to other artists who have, like, gone through that, because there's probably so many other artists who have done what you did and had, like, a grassroots fan base, and then one song takes them to a whole nother level, and there's just, like, this introduction process, and then just, like, lots of fans who just really care about, like, that new song.
Yeah, it's trippy.
We played at a festival last year, and Passenger played, and he had that one big hit.
Yeah.
And he played it kind of in the middle of a set. And then, like, after he played it, some of the people left to go to the, you know, it was like multiple stages. And I thought it was funny. He kind of called them out. He's like, well, we got rid of those fans. And, like, the real fans are here. But he's a funny guy. So it was great. And so I think a lot of artists do go through that. And you just have to embrace that you have different kinds of fans. And it's just great that people, that many people know your song. And hopefully they'll like the whole set, stay through the whole set.
Yeah, and then there's some artists who will get to the point where they just don't want to play that one song anymore, and they don't play it.
Yeah, that seems, I mean, I think we get that when you play a song for years and years, but you got to play it.
Oh, well, yeah.
That's why people like your band. That's how people got introduced to you.
I'm a slave to the audience. Whatever they want, I do.
Yeah.
Cool, that's just about everything I had. Is there anything else you guys wanted to touch on?
I don't think so.
Yeah, just check out our album, Hope. It's out now.
Hope. give a nice little description of the album cover for everybody, backstory of the video.
Yeah.
Bam, killing it.
Crushing right,
thanks
it.
Thanks so much for coming by, guys.
Yeah, thank thanks for having us.
We appreciate it. I've been looking at the stars tonight,
and I think, oh, how I missed that. So, yeah, that's it. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I had a blast talking to Simon and Izzy. New episode of The Altenar Starts drops every Friday on billboard.com and iTunes. So you can stay in the loop with that. You can follow me on Twitter at CPayne on a plane. That's CPayneOnaPlane. And also, of course, subscribe to the show. You can do that by going to iTunes and just searching The Altenar Stars. You can go to the podcast app on your phone, search for The Altenar Stars in there. And if you're listening to this podcast on billboard.com right now, just go to the bottom of the story and click on the iTunes link in the last paragraph. There you can also, besides subscribing, can listen to old episodes. Had artists like Courtney Barnett, Panic at the Disco, Churches, Ex-Ambassadors on lately. You can listen to this Courtney Barnett episode from last week where we talked about things like this.
Yeah, did you feel out of place at all, like, going there and doing the red carpet and just, like, all that comes with the Grammys?
Well, yeah, I guess so. It's not, like, a normal situation. But, like, it was fun. I was with my friends and my girlfriend was with me and it was, like, exciting.
Yeah, you guys were on, you and Jen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys were on TV, like, a few times they flashed you guys.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah.
One time during Kendrick, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I think, yeah, my friends texted me or something. That was, like, he was the coolest thing of the Grammys.
So, yeah, that's from my conversation with Courtney Barnett, another one recently that I really, really enjoyed on the Altenar Stars. So, yeah, I hope you had a good time with this one. Hope you liked the Strumbellas. Stay tuned until next week. New episode of the Altenar Stars drops every Friday on billboard.com. Until then, have a good week, everybody. Bye-bye.